frontier.
Ladies and gentlemen, the following podcast is Wrestling Death and is scheduled for 1 hour. Maybe more. It has no real time limits, making their way into your ears. First, from a place called Barniston, he is the Pyramid.
Margaret, a fiend coming out. You stick on, stick that big red light bulb on for a fiend.
And his partner, Feather Tapender Stevenson.
Honky Tonk Man's going to take the bump for this. He's going to bump for it. I'ma take the bump for you. I'ma take the bump for you.
Hello and welcome to Wrestling Daft. My name is Rab Florence, and of course, nice show without my man Grado there.
What you saying to it, Rab? How are you feeling today?
Twosome, twosome.
Twosome and deck, mate. What do you think?
It's been a bit of a Robson and Jerome, mate.
Aye.
It's been a bit of a week.
Sad news.
Now, listen, we need to... obviously, we've got a show planned. Producer John always does a brilliant job of setting up a nice play sheet for us to run your favourite wrestling podcast, but we need to come off the book a wee bit. Yeah, be honest, we need to get straight with you. And the truth is, the show Wrestling Daft that you're listening to right now has been axed. Now, let me just explain a wee bit before we go any further. We're still going to give you a show. We're still going to give you, you know, the version of the show that you enjoy and have enjoyed over these months, but this could very well be the last episode, just to let you know that. It's simple economics, folks. It's a money's business, and it's simple economics, and the simple fact of the matter is the podcast just hasn't got the listeners that we'd hoped for. The pandemic has struck. Listeners have dropped off because of the pandemic. People aren't commuting as much. People aren't listening to podcasts as much. It's made it even harder to get advertising revenue. It's made it even harder to get money in the door. And producer John does, listen, let's be straight here, Grado, let's be straight, right? We jump on, or we used to jump into the studio, or we'd jump online on a Thursday or a Wednesday night or whatever, and John would have everything all prepared for us, and we just sit and then we just talk and then we just go away, and John does it all, right?
Aye.
That's a fact.
John is he's a master at what he does. We give him pelters on this show every week, but really, it would never be as enjoyable as what it is. I mean, I don't want to kiss the guy's pipe too much, but you know, he really is. He is the...
Aye. John has a job. This is the thing.
This is his job.
John has a job. This is the thing. And the simple fact of the matter is, John's talents at doing this kind of thing, setting up a show like this, all the work he does to get the feedback in, and building up the show so we can step in and just do it.
Aye, because you remember he's working Monday to Friday.
Aye.
While we are just come on, maybe we speak to John through the week in the group chat, and then we come on for 2 hours one night a week, whereas John through the rest of the week is running the Twitter, editing it, amongst doing everything else that he's employed today off the...
Andy and the sister show, and recording the sister show, which you set up as well, and you know, setting up the Marks podcast to just kind of help push the show along and stuff like that. And the simple fact of the matter is, if it's no bringing in the listeners and if the numbers aren't there, it's business, baby. John's talents are better used elsewhere, so it's completely understandable why it's happened. So we just want to let you know right up front on this episode to know that the position is this. This is, as far as we know, the last episode. Me and Grado need to talk and discuss what that means, because obviously me and Grado love doing the show. We love, you know, we have a great laugh checking in with each other. It's been great. Even just for the point of view, I mean, Grado, getting a chance to just see each other every week and have a chat and stuff.
Oh,
like
totally. Because we saw each other before this. We text each other now and again, and we'd say, right, we need to meet up, we need to meet up, because mm-hmm. we're pals. But this has definitely brought us together.
Aye.
Absolutely. And I love it.
Aye. And so the Pillsbury Doughboy laugh is in full effect. So obviously we've got something to think about, because, you know, as it stands, as it stands, the show's away. We'll not get paid to do it, is the thing. And we know there is things like the Patreon and that, and we thank you very much for that. But, you know, even the Patreon doesn't cover the costs, what is involved in putting out the podcast. So it's a very, very difficult situation. We're going to march on with the show. We're going to march on with the show, but you'll forgive us, I think, if we kind of here and there, you know.
But before we do that, Rab, I want to ask you, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? I mean, I love doing this every week. Obviously, I've got my Fit by Daft podcast, which I really enjoy doing. But, I mean, sometimes I could be on that Fit by Daft podcast and they bring up players, man, and I'm like, he's good. He is good. And I'm sitting there going, come on. Asking my bud not that, Stephanie, who's that? About, it's a bit of redneck. We're his own here, man. I'm like, boof. And do you know what? Before I let you open the floor and answer the question, I really think quite a lot of the fans would be interested in my TNA career, which I don't think I've delved into as much as probably what the fans want me to. Yeah. I signed in 2014, so some people forget that, some people 2050, but actually 2014. Actually, it's 6 years to the day on September the 4th, for I first wrestled EC3 in North Carolina.
Oh my God.
Who, by the way, I just want to say, well, we will get into it, but I did watch a wrestling pay-per-view this weekend from start to finish, and I'll let you know just now and tell a little secret, it was not Extreme Rules.
Okay. Wasn't the horror show?
Yeah. I missed that. I've only heard updates about that through the grapevine and through the portal of Jim Cornette's podcast, which you probably don't listen to. That's the only thing we really disagree on is Conley.
Well, in answer to your question, you know, I'm kind of stuck. I'm in two minds. Obviously, I would like to carry on with it, but it's, you know, it's that thing. You know, it's just going to be very tricky today. In the same form, and we need to think. You know, we need to have a proper, real think about, and really open it up to the punters as well. When you hear this podcast, let us know what your feelings is about it as well. You know, what I mean, what your feelings are.
I mean, can I just step in here?
You step know, in, John.
Cut like a Drake Maverick pro. This podcast, you know, was my baby. This was my brainchild. You know, when we started doing Football Daft, I came in as producer of Football Daft, and I wanted to do a wrestling podcast. Gradle got involved, brilliant, and then me and Gradle were talking, who do we want on it? Who would be great? Who's a wrestling fan? Rab Florence. Now, it's been a roller coaster since then. You know, we've had our ups, we've had our downs. But what we need is revenue. As simple as that. As Rab says, the COVID-19 struck every podcast across the world. But, you know, we've not got the listeners that we need to get to where we want to. You know, we need to get, at the moment, let's just shoot here. Let's just absolutely shoot. It's about 5,000 people with the Marks podcast, about 5,000 people listen to this each week. What we need is, you know, we've got about 50-odd patrons from that 5,000. What we need is more patrons to get involved in this podcast. And what we need is 10,000 listeners. Because when we get to 10,000 listeners, we start making it profitable. Because Rab, you know, start at Burniston, Grado, start everything. These guys don't do this just for the... I mean, they do it for the love. But these guys are busy. These guys are busy. Rab's writing stuff for the BBC. Grado's got a radio show, working for the fire service, wrestling. You know, Rab's got loads of other stuff going on. What we need is people...
Wayne's, I've got 100 Wayne's.
He's got a bit of 100 Wayne's as well. So the time is a big thing for these guys as well, as much as they love doing it. And what we need is you to get involved. If you're a, you know, if you're a business owner out there, if you know a business owner who likes wrestling, we can sell your shit. We can cut promos. You can have Wrestling Daft with Bobby's Garages. We can have Bobby's Garages on Wrestling Daft. But what we need is your
Jimmy's Crisps.
You know, we're going to keep
Margaret's Tablet.
All that. We love all that. We love Margaret's Tablet. Tilly's.
There's a woman in Facebook that sells cheese boards, which if you're listening to the show, Marianne and Kamal, look, this is the cheese boards. If you want to put a wee plug on this, no bother at all. I mean, I will go into how good your cheese boards are, but no until you can
give us some cash. And that's
yeah. I know you're in the middle of the Drake Maverick gimmick, right? And I love it, right? But we don't. Nah, but no, as soon as I forget £100 for this, do you know what I mean?
Not, it's like, he's not getting, you know, he's aren't on TV money. You aren't on the big, you know, you aren't on the big John Cena money here. You know what I mean? Yeah, I mean, you're jobbing out for this. You know? That's it. And, you know, we need people to get involved in this show. We really do. We need you guys to jump on Patreon, patreon.com/wrestlingdaft. Get signed up. Tell your mates to get listening. Any wrestling fan, get listening. Just tell them to listen. This is the fucking funniest wrestling podcast out there, right? The best. I would put up at this against any wrestling podcast out there. And this is the best. And we need you on board for this.
It was a bit sweary, wasn't it? I was a bit, it's dropping the F-bombs on it.
Brilliant. John.
Good promo, mate. Good promo. Good promo. No, look, the people know, as it stands, the show is done, but it is in the people's hands, really, you know what I mean? It's in the people's hands. So let's, you know, it's a situation that's in flux, you know. Anyway, let's see what the punters have been saying. Let's not put too much...
We also... The content that we need to put on Patreon, I've done an interview. I'm ready to do Hunter's Mare. I'm ready to extra content that it takes for people to.
Aye, and I promise if you do sign up for Patreon, we'll make it worth your while. You know, we do need to be there to make this feel like many a community, which we haven't really done.
Because
you know what I mean?
Sorry, Rab, I keep cutting you off, but by the way, what a community is, by the way, because when I come on here every week, I don't look at the script, right? I wait till you see it and see the stuff that people submit. Mm-hmm. The funniest stuff comes for you folk out there. It is, I'm like, wow, man.
It is a community. I mean, we do the Marks show and we watch along with the guys and we're watching Extreme Rules and what a laugh. About six of us just sitting watching, six of our patrons sitting watching and brilliant laugh. And it's a brilliant community. And I can name a lot of people that I can now classify as friends through just Wrestling Daft because it's a brilliant community.
And to put a broader context on it as well, it's like, because I suppose you could be there thinking, well, why these no just keep doing it anyway? Just do it anyway for a laugh. And right now, and Grado will back me up here, what the situation is like. Right now, with me and Grado as people who work in this industry as freelancers, just kind of doing our own thing and whatever, it is hard times, you know. It is hard times, you know. Nothing's filming. No live stuff is happening. The industries have shut down, you know what I mean? So right now, it's like, you know, every minute, every hour of the day that I've got spare, I'm having to hustle like fuck, because what I'm looking at is there's no money coming in. You know what I mean? I don't know when the money's going to come in next month. I don't know what money's coming there the month after that or month after that. There used to be a time in the past where if... You know, this is total shit stuff here. There was a time in the past where if I was like quite tight for the next few months, I could go things or something to get a bit of money in. That's gone. Can I do that now? So now it's got to be hustle, spend time writing, trying to get pots on the boil, trying to kind of do something, trying to pivot into something else. So it's a very, very tight time now. So it's really no as simple as just going, well, we can do stuff for a laugh because, well, you know, it's a scary time, isn't it, Grado?
It so is. I mean... Look at it like this, our last... I mean, obviously, we're not the only people on this boat. There's loads of folk out there that are in exactly the same position and probably worse than us, right? And I prefer to do they're worse than us. There's no ifs or buts about that. But I last wrestled in March. And looking at it right now, it doesn't look as if I'm going to wrestle until next March. So that's a big chunk. No wrestling, man. I hate it. But, I mean, when are we going to be able to wrestle again? I'm never... It's going to be a full year out of wrestling. We don't have, you know, TV shows to the internet shows without a crowd and stuff like that. That's just no happening right now. It's just the way it is in the UK. So there's no way of putting on a show, which is shite. So, as you say, we're having to spend every minute of the day trying to get something. And we're not the only person. There's, for as many as me and Rab, there's like fucking 300 other folk in this country doing the exact same thing.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So it's tough. It's a tough situation for everybody. You know what I mean?
If you are a business out there, and I'm going to go back to that. If you are a business, you want to get involved, you want sponsorship on this podcast, you want us to read out whatever you want us to read out, we'll do it. We're no shit. Whatever product.
Grado, negotiate. Listen, negotiate with because it probably won't be as expensive as you think. Probably won't be as expensive as you think.
If Margaret wants to sell a tablet, I'll take a couple of fucking...
Just a tablet would do.
You know what I mean?
Just a fucking tablet.
please DM us on Twitter or you can get me personally on my email, john@thisisaudiofrontier.com. That's john@thisisaudiofrontier.com.
And honestly, don't discount what Patreon does as well. Even if you, you know, even if you signed up for Patreon at the lowest amount, you know what I mean? And if everybody did that, the show would be gone forever. The show would be gone forever if everybody went on at the lowest amount. So so anyway, let's
start with brand new.
So correspondence for last episode. Thanks to Andy Muirhead, by the way. He's the first to enter Grado's TNA check drawing competition. If you don't know what that is, you need to listen to episode 35 of this great podcast.
I'm still trying to find where I've tell. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I do know I have a stack of TNA checks up the house. It's because I'm with my girlfriends. I've not actually been up the house. but that was Philip Schofield's idea, by the way. He kind of said, look, if you don't stay with your bud, you need to make a decision. You stay in the house or go with your bud. So I'm in my lot.
Well played, mate. Well played.
You know what I mean? I'm enjoying it, you know what I mean?
Andy Muirhead's done a drawing, Bank of Wrestling Daft, there it is. Pay Robin Grado. I'm getting paid here. 10,000 fat ones. It says 10,000 quid. It's a beautiful, it actually looks, I would fall for that. It looks like a check.
It's fucking no far off, similar to what Bob Ryder sent me.
lots of love for last week's section where Grado's brother reviewed the Big Show show. In fact, Pablo's been in touch with another recommendation for him to review. Fit Finlay's Irish Wrestling documentary, which you'll find on YouTube. So, Grado, let's kid on. There's another episode coming. Maybe you could get your brother to do that for the future. Now, in our quest to book the one and only Bingo Balance of WrestleZone onto the show, well, that could have turned it round for us, by the way, I think, if we'd have got Bingo Balance on the show.
If only we had, you know, don't get me wrong, is there somebody that I heard rumours that somebody's managed to, oh well, they've not managed to contact them, but they've got a lead to Bingo. Well,
Kirk Cooper, last week's listener of the week, has been back in touch. He says, another class listener this week, he says, if he's dead genuinely want a word with Bingo, I'll try and hook it up.
If he's dead genuinely want a word with Bingo, it's brilliant.
I worked a few shows with him for the Wrestling Live over here before I fell out with a promoter over a human centipede spot at a family show. But he should be able to get the hook up still. Beautiful.
I want to know more about the argument between I'm not doing
that. I want to see the spot. after last week's comparison to Grado and the Golden Girls, we asked if the Golden Girls are wrestlers, who would be who? Shun Ken Poo says that Blanche would be Matt Riddle. Tart, he says. Matt Riddle's a tart. Rose would be Seth Rollins, Airhead. Come on now. Dorothy, Kevin Owens, blunt voice of reason. Sophia, Vince, losing the plot. Now, hold on, Sophia wasn't losing the plot. This is all rang. Sophia was sharp as a tack. Sophia was sharper than anybody. That's all rang. Sophia was a great promo, by the way. Sophia was a great promo. They was like, what the fuck are they talking about?
I've never seen Golden Girls for that. Is it like Glow?
Oh, it's not like me. No,
I'm just totally getting the hang of this. Stick with this fucking hanging on.
Fraser Smith says Rose is Mick Foley due to slight naivety of character.
Hold on, all these people know about Golden Girls.
Aye, around Mr. McMahon on the build up. It's not like Golden Girls is some obscure, it's like a massively popular American sitcom back in the day. Blanche, Latino.
Taxi.
Aye, kinda. Blanche, Latino Heat, Eddie Guerrero. Don't know about that. Sophia, Al Snow. Nah. Many jobs equal to gimmicks. Like, nah. Dorothy, Ric Flair. Nah, this isn't right. Chris says Blanche is Shawn Michaels, Texan and a bit slutty. Rose, Hacksaw, Jim Duggan. What? No. Dorothy, Jack Tunney, resemblance there. Come, what the? What? And Sophia, Bobby Heenan. That's a good one, by the way.
Is it?
Sophia being Bobby Heenan.
Class, man.
No, it's not quite right. Maybe. Oh, jeez. I'm right, trying to think. Gorilla Monsoon, Dorothy. Oh, it's tough. Anyway, I'm moving on for this because I could do this all night. Let's move on. Now, if you want to get in touch with us about any of that stuff or random wrestling related stuff, you can get us on Twitter at Wrestling Daft, on Insta Wrestling Daft Podcast, and just Wrestling Daft on Facebook, or email WrestlingDaft@gmail.com. And this time, please take the opportunity to get in touch and just give messages of support and love. Now, every week we like to separate the good for the bad in wrestling. I'm not saying this. The Burnistons from the... And John has put in a show here that he obviously...
Mrs. Brown's boys.
Samo.
I know. Sorry, you shouldn't. I shouldn't have written that because you shouldn't be, you know, ethics. You shouldn't, you know, slate any other comedy writer. But Mrs. Brown's Boys is pure shite.
No. Mrs. Brown's Boys is a massively successful comedy show, which is one of the hardest things in the world today.
True. Mrs. Brown's Boy isn't sitting on a bare Wednesday night talking shite about wrestling for a couple of couples.
Fucking exactly, mate. Exactly, mate. Exactly. I want to bury that swamp match. I want to bury that swamp match. I want to bury the Fiend, man.
Really?
I think I'm done with it.
I thought he patched it and was back to being the cunt with the straw hat.
No, I mean, the Fiend came back again and it's, you know, I'm done with it. And I want to, you know what, this isn't a bury I put over really, but I've been seeing Seth Rollins and Rey Mysterio getting a lot of pelters for that match because of the daft eye carry on and stuff like that, but
well, I mean,
I think with the daftness involved, I think they did a good job.
I mean, I only typed it in and watched a bit with eyeball comes out because I've no interest, right? Mm. But could they not got a better eyeball?
Aye, it was like a wee kid on eyeball that he was hoarding. But you only see it very briefly. Anyway, what I want to put over is Eddie Kingston appearing on AEW, a brilliant promo, challenging Cody. I love a legit promo like that. You know what I mean?
Eddie Kingston is cool. He's a cool guy, man.
But he's a fighter, right? He's got that. He's got that legit feel about him.
Oh, I mean, he is. He's pure. And see all that New York. He is totally in amongst all that. He's for the Bronx. They all walk about the streets. It's like, see what you see in the films. He's all involved in that. I've listened to his stories. So is Santana. Is it Santana? Where's the bandana? No, the one with the afro. And the new Elliot. Is it Elliot? Oh, shit. Is it LAX? Huh?
Is it LAX?
Aye.
Aye, right. Well, I mean, they've got mental stories, man. They are real. They love the gimmick, man. They've told me stories about the mob and the mafia.
Well, this is a thing, man. Did you see the promo?
Can I watch it now? I've
not. Well, it's like too long. It's like 15 minutes long. It's not really 15 minutes long, right? But basically, he says he's like going out to Cody and he says, oh, you're talking about grinding and about like fucking the hard work that he's done and stuff like that. And he's like, you grew up with legends. I mean, you grew up with legends like Arn Anderson. When about, you know, I grew up with alcoholics and junkies. And, you know, it was just a proper, like, it's a beautiful promo.
By the way, shout out a wee moment to Z-Bar, who passed away this week, a CZW. Oh. Z-Bar died. So don't laugh, Rob.
Sorry, I didn't realise you were going to announce a death.
Ah, sorry, mate. Well, it's just, there you go. So we lost Z-Bar, who was a big wrestler in CZW, and it's quite depressing. I was actually talking to Sanjay Dutt the other night because he was part of that CZW era, 2002, and the amount of guys that have lost their lives.
Really?
That era. Oh, man, you've got Rockin' Rebel, who shot himself, and I think he shot, can't remember, shot somebody else. We lost. See, now I'm forgetting all of them. But there was.
Don't laugh, mate. I'm talking about people dying.
Nate Hatred died. Chris Cash died in an accident about 10 years ago. Trent Acid, who was amazing. Do you know what I mean? It was a really another sad death in wrestling.
Oh, keeping it upbeat. Right, let's go to see what the punters are saying. John wants to put over Gallows and Anderson going to Impact.
Right, okay, can I get my chance? Because you didn't know I watched a show this week. I stayed up and watched it. Do you know what I mean? So,
give me it.
I stayed up. I ordered the pay-per-view. I did ask to see if I could get a wee login after the boys at TNA because I've got some previous issues. Unfortunately, that didn't come in time, so I had to buy it from Fight TV. $19.99, totally worth the money. From the outset, first opinions was I just thought to myself, come on. Get a few cunts off the street and make a bit of noise. They're still doing that whole completely empty arena carry on. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It was a good wee surprise seeing Motor City Machine Guns. I love the North. They're a great tag team. Ethan Page and Josh Alexander. I think they're brilliant. They've held the tag titles for a year. Love the match of Motor City Machine Guns. Heath Slater coming out was good, but the microphone was shite. Because I've started doing radio now, I'm kind of getting into sound and all that, Rab. I'm liking, you know, sound quality and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? And the process and the sound and all that push, right? Sound wasn't good. Sound wasn't good. I didn't enjoy the women's gauntlet match.
Here we go. The last episode of the podcast, and finally, Grado cares about good sound.
Finally, Grado's watched some fucking wrestling. Jesus,
finally, he's watched a wrestling show. I know.
So I watched that. Wait, what's happened? You know, I'm sitting there. And I thought, what was other matches? And the main event was absolutely a cracking. Eric Young coming back, who looked like a badass, who wasn't playing the tomfoolery character that he played in TNA. He was up for business. Don't get me wrong, there was an offer swerve when they brought out Rich Swann. Totally swerved me. I was texting my mate who's at show, and I'm going, this is shite. I love Rich Swann, but you can't fucking swerve us like that. Then the next minute, Eric Young comes out, yada yada yada. Great match. Bit disappointed in EC3. No, I suppose they need to get ratings for their TV.
No, having any business, really.
The cock teased that just at the end. I thought it was good seeing Gallows and Anderson coming out, even if the funniest bit was Luke Gallows tripping out his high heels when he was walking down the ring. You know, this big cool as a cat man, he trips out his high heels.
What's your take on why EC3 didn't really work at WWE? What happened there?
I'll tell you right here now. I have absolutely no idea. because for me, he is a star.
I thought he'd strapped a rocket to him at the WWE.
He is what exactly wrestling needs right now. He can talk his ass off. He's got a great look. His music in TNA 10 times better than his WWE one. But you know, things like this matter to me. I have no idea because he. And I thought to myself, because he went to SmackDown pretty early after NXT, and I thought, right, here we go. But then he was just in the matches with No Way Jose. You know what I mean?
I don't understand why it didn't happen for EC3. And by all accounts, he's a good guy, you know that as well. So I don't really know what the deal is.
He's a great guy. He really totally reminded me of The Rock. I know that might sound daft, but he really was for me the next Rock. I mean, I love him. I've got a fucking...
Mate, you're the next Rock. Let's see what the punters are saying. So, John put over Gallows and Anderson, and he wants to bury Eye for an Eye match at Extreme Rules. There we go. Scott wants to put over Slammiversary and the return of the Motor City Machine Guns, probably my favourite ever TNA tag team.
Oh, well, he's obviously not saying me and Mahabalishina. We were a good tag.
And wants to
bury... In fact, it was Odar the Great and Mahabalishina.
And wants to bury, this is Scott, Bray Wyatt and his pish swamp match, everything for lack of alligators to his shite wee fairy lights. He go out of the range. Beautiful. Brian wants to put her Gallows and Anderson talking shop podcast after the release. No heard that. Who doesn't love a good shoot interview? No heard it. Plus, their appearance on Being the Elite afterwards was even better. And he wants to bury that dopey fucking eyeball shite. If you're going to have a shite idea, at least execute it right. David wants to put her Jericho getting drenched with OJ, then complaining for the rest of the show. Jericho's just continues to be fantastic. I love how he's calling himself the demo god now. Have you seen this?
Oh, I hate that.
Or do you, John?
You hate? Why do you hate it?
Just what wrestling fan cares about demographics? That's fucking marketers that go on about demographics.
I just think it's funny because you're saying wrestling fans don't care about demographics. Oh, every single day on Twitter, I see wrestling fans talking about demographics.
Mate, if there's any fan base in the entertainment business that wants to know about the nook and crannies and demographics as fucking wrestling fans, man.
Paul wants to put over a great week in wrestling, great AEW, NXT, SmackDown, amazing Slammiversary, the horror show, minus the obvious matches, Raw and Impact on Tuesday, all great. I just want to say quickly as well, sorry, let's finish what Paul says. He wants to bury anyone who actually thought Ray was going to lose his eye. That's like someone in EastEnders really being given the Malky, dafties. I just want to say, I kind of feel almost like, setting aside Drew for a minute, because obviously we know him and he's doing an absolutely brilliant job and stuff like that. I think that Sasha and Bayley are maybe the best things gone in WWE just now. I just feel as if there's a real star power about them now. Bayley has, in the past 12 months, Bayley has just became something really special, I think, really special. Karate Warrior 2 wants to bury any WWE or dirt sheet Mark who dares talk shite about any of Vince Russo's booking. When 2020 WWE pulls bonkers garbage like plucking out a wrestler's eyeball, adding chunder reaction, then assuring everybody the victim was perfectly fine before the end of the show. Hashtag puke.
He's got a great point in terms of this booking is very similar to something that you would see 20 years ago on WCW. You know, the orange juice moment. I mean, I'm not talking about WWE here, but just for example, you know, AEW did an Austria spot was, you know, Russell started that way with Gangrel. I watched an old WCW the other night with Billy Kidman and Hulk Hogan, and I think the same thing happened as well. There is, it's weird that I think in 10 years' time, this, they're going to, unless they get their act together, man, we are going to look back at all this shit and go, what?
Aye. It's going to be the weirdest period to look back on, all these empty arenas and all that. Stephen wants to bury Ray at losing an eye, and also Braun basically being drowned, so he's no deed. And wants to put her Bailey for acting like a proper wee fanny, like I was saying. Ali wants to put her the Good Brothers debut and their class new entrance music. New entrance music is good. And wants to bury the eye for an eye match. James wants to put over Alexa Bliss as Sister Abigail, even though the match was shite. No, that was all shite. And wants to bury Rav, Florence and Ian Connell for no doing a legit season two, even though it's their best show by far. We would love to have done more of that show.
What show after series two were you talking about?
Legit was a show we did that had
Jordan
was in it. Jordan Face
Scott. That's mad. Remember that? That was Jordan Young's thing. I remember that. That was was that not kind of Dead East Coasty?
It was a wee bit. It was a wee bit. And it was, you know, it just, you know.
I really enjoyed that. That was the first time. Who was the kind of the heavier
that
guy?
That was the first show I was involved in that got axed. But, no. But as we've now found out, no, the last.
What programmes have been axed more than me and you? I think I'm maybe winning, would you think? World of Sport, Test Drive.
Has Test Drive axed?
Of course no, you axed.
Right. Let's just say the creators have decided to concentrate on that fucking show on ITV where they come out and dressed as fucking mad ostriches and all that, and you have to guess who's going. Aye, mate. So they fucked me off. I remember they were at to me, we've got great news when we're doing Test Drive. We've got great news. You'll love it. This is great. We've just got the rights to The Masked Singer. It's a big show in America. And I was like, am I going to be in it? And they were like, no, man, no. And I'm like, how's this good news for me?
Well, I had the legit get canned. The Sunny didn't happen, get canned. What else?
I was in the Sunny, that counts as
you were in the Sunny, mate. You were, so I guess we share that one. Mm-hmm. The state of it has been kind of, they've went, we'll see. We'll not make Miller now, what, that vague kind of thing.
By the way, speaking of Scottish comedy, sorry,
I call that a canon, mate. Ben Hall wants to put over the Butcher for remembering to get a spare set of keys for the truck cut for Thompson's. Barry, FTR being unable to start the truck when they got the keys back, so the cameraman had to walk away so it looked like they were moving. Yep. Stephen wants to put over Impact for the talent they've acquired and seen what they do with them in the coming months. So they're bringing in a lot of people. Okay. And wants to bury the fans yet again for moaning about Nyla Rose this time because she's aligned herself with Vicky Guerrero. Just let it unfold in front of your eyes, he says. Just let it unfold in front of your eyes. Ian McIntyre says, bury wrestling. No, please just actually bury it. It's dead. Cinematic matches have killed it dead.
You've not done a cinematic match yet, Rob. I think me and you could do a good cinematic match.
I think we could do a good cinematic match. I think that would be brilliant, man.
Or Glasgow, not.
Ian McIntyre wants to put over anybody willing to step up and admit this unfortunately undeniable fact. That fact being, remember, that wrestling is dead.
Can I just say it? That, it seems like that eyeball match, it wasn't the greatest spectacle.
Fucking brilliant, man. The only thing we can do now is talk about our Patreon. Now, here's the spiel we've been giving you for...
As if we've talked about it enough, fuck me, man.
Here's the spiel we've been giving you for weeks and weeks and months, right? And this is, and it's never been more important now, because really the only thing you can save is as this episode goes out and then over the weekend, suddenly there's loads of subscribers and suddenly the show comes alive again. Tier 1, Cruiserweight Champion, $4 a month. I'm going to be honest to you here, right? I'm going to be honest to you. See, if you all just signed up for this one, everything would be fine. Everything would be gravy. And I know $4 a month, it's a few quid, it's a lot a month to pay you. It is a lot. The new, with all this going on, it is a lot. So this isn't by any means guilting you into it. You know, and we'll probably mess about with these tiers and stuff like that. There is a $10 a month one where you get more. Go to your Patreon and read about it, all right? But all we're asking you today, really, fundamentally all you need today to save the show is if you enjoy listening to the show, just go and sign up to that $4 one. We're not even, I think that's fair enough, isn't it, to say, boys, we're not even saying go and sign up for the $20 one or anything. It's like, if you can help out any wee bit,
Is there anything, even John, what we could do this week for everybody that signed up? You know, maybe Monday, Tuesday night, I'll come on and speak with. Is that accessible to speak to folk in Zoom? And
I could sort that out.
Do you know what I mean?
You want to sort that out?
If you sign up this weekend, I'll come on and tell some TNA stories.
I mean, we're just trying to save the show. You're Intercontinental Champion, which is $10 a month. You get a video version of the podcast each week, and that's when you get the pay-per-view parties and all that kind of stuff. And Tier 3 was the one before the pandemic hit, where you were going to get, you know, a chance to come to live things and all of that. You know, everything's all changed. But just go and take a look at the Patreon. It's patreon.com/wrestlingdaft, and any help you can give us at this point really is going to make a big difference. We would love to welcome you to the roster, and we would love to carry on making this show.
Save the show!
You just made the list!
Time for the list of Wrestling Daft now, best tag teams. Every week we ask for you guys to vote in a list of Wrestling Daft. This week, after the diabolical karaoke in SmackDown, we thought, why not put the worst segments in wrestling against the best tag teams ever? Since there's been a lot of discussion recently about the revitalisation of tag team wrestling. And with 55% of the vote, it was the tag teams that won it. So, as me, they're my top three tag teams this time. Okay. My number three is going to have to be the New Age Outlaws.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, D-Generation X proudly brings to you its WWF Tag Team Champion of the World, the Road Dog Jesse James, the Badass Billy Gunn, the New Age Outlaws. And of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Now, the reason why I say the New Age Outlaws is because the New Age Outlaws at number three are everything I really shouldn't enjoy in wrestling. I think individually, they guys, like the Road Dogg. Here's the weird thing about Road Dogg and Billy Gunn. They don't even look as if they fit together, never mind in the same stable or anything. They don't even look...
The pals.
No, they don't even seem like they're guys that would hang about with each other or anything.
No.
You know what I mean? But yeah, you put the two guys together and... Pay-per-views, they were so good. A pay-per-view used to open up, and that was the first thing you would hear, was them coming out to wake up the crowd. And man, the matches were always good as well, man. The matches were always good. But always funny, good matches.
It's funny you say that, because it's like Road Dogg was like the mad catty fucking golf pal, and Billy Gunn's like the kind of cheeky Nando's. Do you know what I mean? That
kind of... Aye, I bet you a kind of wee kind of spice boy type guy.
Nike Air Max and all that, and Road Dogg's more kind of DCs and listens to Papa Roach.
100%.
And he and Badass Billy Gunn listens to DJ Bad Boy.
100%. This has been a really hard one for me to make this list. I had to put the New Age Outlaws on it because I love the Attitude Era, and they were kind of a big part of the identity of the Attitude Era. But I also loved when I was a wee guy, I loved the Legion of Doom. And I loved Demolition, and even when I was a wee guy as well. It's like, I'll tell you something: who I didn't love, I didn't love the British Bulldogs.
Oh.
British Bulldogs used to bore me.
Really?
I used to be kind of bored watching the British Bulldogs. I'm not joking. I used to be bored watching them. There's also things like the Outsiders, for example, right? Kevin Nash and Scott Hall, which I don't really count as a tag team. I kind of feel like they didn't have a long enough run. But I think my number two best tag teams of all time, oh my God, is going to have to be, it's going to have to be the Legion of Doom. I'm going to have to go for the Legion of Doom. I need to go with my heart here. I need to go with my heart.
That's right, Gene. Hulk and I are back there watching the monitor, and we couldn't help overhearing you two little geeks. You tell us we don't deserve to be champions. You tell us you're going to show us where the power and who is the glory. How do you think we got to be world champions? By beating nobodies? We've beaten the best that the World Wrestling Federation has to offer, and we're going to be champions for a long, long time. Right, Hawk?
They always had a kind of indie vibe about them. And I loved all that. I loved that Mad Max shit. I loved that Mad Max kind of look, the big fucking shoulder pads and all that in the face paint. I remember when I was a wee guy, I had a Legion of Doom bandana. I used to wear all the time when I was a wee guy. And I loved them. And just, oh, what a rush. No, no, it was just great. They were so weird as well. They were weird. Do you know what I mean? I thought the finishing move was one of the best tag team finishing moves fucking ever. I just couldn't look past them. Now, going to come to my number one here, right? I feel very bad that the New Day only on this list, right, of tag teams. I feel very bad about it because I think once a few mere years have passed, if we were doing this list again in 5 years, New Day would be number one, probably.
They're not really a tag team, really. It's a faction.
Well, it's a faction.
This is the weird thing about them, but they kind of are a tag team, aren't they, as well? But I just think in 5 years' time, when we look back, they could easily be my number one. A big fan of Edge and Christian's work as well when they did their things together.
I didn't like Edge and Christian when I was a
man. Really, they were so funny and all that, and you know, I loved all that. But my number one has to be, because when I think about a tag team, a professional wrestling tag team, and I'm keeping it in Western wrestling, right? I'm not doing my usual thing of coming out with Japanese tag teams and that, right? If we're talking about American wrestling, when I was a wee guy, I used to see these guys and I used to go, I would be terrified to fight them. I would be terrified if that tag team were to fight me in a match. Can you guess who I'm talking about?
I'm going to go for...
I would be terrified. I mean, I would actually be shitting myself.
It's no Demolition, is it?
It's the Steiner Brothers.
That's right, Lee Marshall. Me and the Dark-Faced Gremlin, we are pumped and we are primed for Hog Wild and Sturgis. You see, our brother's paws have been for the wall and we are ready for a fight. Hot on meat, August 10th is going to be your day of reckoning and we are going to make you realize that we are the better team.
I'm going to talk to the Dog-Faced Gremlin here and it's going to be Hog Wild. I got to assume you got that part of your...
Dog Bound, boys. You see, my brother and I been waiting. You see, you come by the fence once too many times, the dog's gonna get you. You see, come down to the Dog Pound, boys. We'll make you famous.
Oh, mate, what a shout. What a shout. Definitely,
it's
man.
It's the Steiners. I used to watch you guys when I was young, and I would see, because obviously I was like a big WWF fan. Mm-hmm. And then when I'd look at WCW and you'd see the Steiners and WCW and they were terrifying. They were terrifying. And then they were just such a brilliant... They worked together so brilliantly well. Unbelievably athletic. Every single move looked so sore. Everyone looked so sore. They looked like they completely dismantled people, took people apart. Scott Steiner... I know Scott Steiner has become like a kind of different kind of character, a big giant personality, a very caricature type guy now, but you have to remember, you know, and I hope people out there do remember this, that Scott Steiner in his youth, when he was with the Steiner brothers, was just one of the most unbelievably athletic, legitimate looking, frightening wrestlers that you could ever see, you know what I mean?
Aye, because do you know what? Obviously, that was before. See, that was kind of before my time. But it's amazing when I go back and watch the Steiner Brothers now, and I see Steiner doing a Hurricane Rana and all that. You're like, boofed.
Yeah, unbelievable.
No chance, man.
Just unbelievable. You know what I mean? And then Rick would come in, and he just looked like he could just punch you right out your boots. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then you had Scott doing all the incredible stuff that he could do. They were just a great tag team. I'm so sorry to people like the Hart Foundation and all that who are obviously brilliant.
Aye, shout out to the Hart Foundation because you're on the list.
Very, very tough.
Am I allowed to say my favourite tag team?
Of course.
My favourite tag team, can you guess, Rab?
Your favourite tag team? Well, the NTNA.
Do you know what? America's Most Wanted were up there, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't such a great lover of Beer Inc. I was very much a fan of Triple X when they were.
Your favourite tag team is?
Who?
The Dudleys.
Aye.
Is it?
Absolutely, aye. Yep. 100% love the Dudley boys.
Aye, I know, foxy.
Absolutely. Again, I actually watched a documentary on WWE Network and I'd never seen it before and I was surprised at that, but I just seen you go back. How they were made in ECW and how they feuded with each other because you know, there was Devon Dudley and how Devon Dudley got his character for Samuel Jackson in Pulp Fiction. And it's amazing to see Bubba Ray. Oh man, he was a big fat shite back in the day. See the ECW matches. Holy, he was like, he was a big strub. But see that boofed. Loved it as soon as he came out. Loved their gear. Loved their finisher. All that. I mean, that was totally like we are pals. You know, was it? You know, what I mean, I know they got it after Budweiser. Carry on, but get the tables. But. And then when it, then when Bubba Ray come back at the Royal Rumble, after having such an amazing stint in TNA as a legit badass, I mean, he is a bully. He's Bully Ray. It's funny, man, I tagged with him once in fucking Marietta, Ohio, and there was like a sign on the front door, no guns, and it was like, you're done in Clipart, and it was like the gun for fucking Clipart was used as like the wee bit, it was like an A4 paper, do not bring Clipart a gun in here, and I was like, what?
Oh my God.
Country guns are being. Anyway, so I tagged with him against Colt Cabana and Hornswoggle, and oh my God, a tag team that my memory fades me. I hope they're not listening, right? If they're for America, man. But they were brand new. If he's listening, use my cool, man. But do you know that way? I was tagging with Bubba Ray, right? And I had all these ideas. I was like, right, well, Dairy 3D and that, right? And he's like, nah, man. I'm like, then I'm trying to get my hokey stuff in on my gaga, and I'm like, right. You do this thing where, like, I'm trying to just think of something that I would come up with, like, oh, fuck, do you know, just even just things like maybe I stun in your tase and you go, do you know this or this kind of stuff? Maybe slap my head and he's going, nah, man, you're all right. Everything I caught with Bubba, he was going, nah, you're all right. And do you know what, but he was great, man. The first time I met him, have I told the story? When he caught me, I moved about like a big bag of milk, no?
Oh, aye.
See, mm-hmm. I'm fucking, you... Rail, you mildly amuse me. You mildly amuse me. You move around like an old bag of milk, but you entertain me. And he gave me this advice. I've probably told it before. I was like, you're kind of fat, ain't you? And he's like, what? I was like, I mean, you're kind of bigger, ain't you? And he's like, wait. I goes, well, how do I stop myself from blowing up in the ring? And he's like, the key to not blowing up in the ring is to not think about it. Don't think about blowing up and you won't blow up. Of course, ever wow. since he told me that, every time I fucking in the ring, I think I'm blowing up.
That's the thing. I suppose it's something to do about keeping relaxed and just like letting your breathing just be natural and no be like, I need to keep my breath and all that kind of stuff.
Remember, Al Snow telling me one, he was like, Dale, he goes, go like this when you're, breathe like this, money, Ken Dale, this, when you hang, breathe like this. And fucking man, I remember I must have wrestled Char or something and he gave me that advice and I'm going, and Char's like, you all right, mate? I'm fine, it's my new thing.
I imagine that would make you worse. Right, so let's see what the punters are saying. John says the Hart Foundation. Not only do you have a technical ability of Bret Hart and the strength of Jim Knight Hart, but also Jimmy Hart as manager at the early stages of the tag team. One of the best tag teams of that era. Such good matches with the Killer Bees at Rocker's Demolition, of course. Definitely. Agreed, John. Scott says my favourite is the Dudleys, but Rab will pick some obscure Japanese tag team and they can't tell me. Well, I didn't. Although the Steiners did wrestle quite regularly in Japan.
I'll have you know
that they did wrestle in Japan a lot. Dale says, my favourites as a young lad in the early 90s were LOD, but for sheer entertainment and putting their bodies through hell, Team Extreme are definitely up there. The Hardy Boys got returned at WrestleMania 33 is a surprise addition to a Fatal 4-Way. Still makes my hair stand up. Hardy Boys, great tag team.
I just want to say, you know, I was there the night of WrestleMania 23 when the Hardys were in the Indy Hotel, right? There was the WWE Hotel and there was the Indy Hotel and Matt Hardy had fell out with Jeff, right? And there'd be that stuff on the internet and they're all putting screenshots of text up on the internet and I've got this heavy fucking, I've got this mega feud, man. And I'm sitting in the lobby having a wee drink with Jeff and Karen and then the Hardy Boys come and they're obviously going to WrestleMania and they've got their bags and all that and fucking, Gredo, how you doing? Who you here been? I'm like, Jeff. And I'm like, right, mate, catch you. And it was a bit, see, it was brilliant, man, because I ended up watching, like, WrestleMania with Jeff and all that and fucking JB was heavy muckered up with the Hardy Boys, right, because he came up with all the fucking stuff, man, and it was, like, hilarious watching the reaction when the Hardy Boys come out. There's pure awkward silence in the room up here. They're clearly gutted.
Ben says high energy for the clothes, big bright trousers and braces. Wish I knew where they bought them. Fraser says the addiction. Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, entertaining as a team since their TNA days and their trio as SCU with Scorpio Sky helped them continue as a team. Dylan says it's a tough one, but Golden Lovers, Kenny Omega and Kota Ibushi, very, very good pick.
Come on.
Very good pick. Aldous Tash says Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard. I mean, come
good
on.
Show.
Legit. ADI, or AD, or ADI, or ADI. Probably the Hardys, but man, Head Cheese were a missed opportunity. Great fun tag team. Man.
That was funny.
Big Chris, Finaki and Scotty Too Hotty, hands down. Come on, you wido. The best thing about Velocity, aside from Todd Grisham, of course. Kyle says LOD is my favourite tag team of all time, but in my opinion, the Dudley Boys are the best team ever. Psycho for me says, I think it's got to be the New Age Outlaws. Looking back to when I was a kid watching them when they were class, hated them when they were heel, more than I've ever hated anybody at that time. When they threw Mick Foley and Terry Funk off a stage in the dumpster, that had me glued. That what a great match up was.
That was good.
Xander says, of the modern era, it would have to be the Bucks. Of all time, I'd have to say Arn and Tully. No question. And no nonsense, tough as fuck tag team. Agreed. I never even thought about Arn and Tully. Jan says Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox. Does that count as a... Come on. I'm more reading that. John, come on now. That's why we get fucking cancelled. Mark says the Iron Jew with Grado and Colt Cabana.
Oh, I forgot about that.
They would have took the world by storm and fucked up any tag team that stood in their way.
Aye.
I try to get
us in the next team, man, but Colt wasn't into it.
Now, if you want Wrestling Daft merch, they might become collector's items, by the way. Wrestling Daft merch.
Fuck me.
You got it. You can have a Wrestling Daft t-shirt, hoodie, phone cover, trucker cap, one air range of Grado inspired bum bags. It's shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft. On there, you'll find designs such as Alexa, who is Graham Steveley? I'm a Mark, Crud, Chips, Cheese and Donner Meat, and I'm a Wrestler T. And you can even get a face mask to wear at the shops.
Are we seeing now or new? Are we now backing this, the mask gimmick?
Oh, get the masks, aye. We all want masks now, right? It's John, you were right.
What a great idea. Thank
you. John, you were right. I'm so sorry. So check out our range at shop.spreadshirt.co.uk/wrestlingdaft now, or check out the links on our Facebook page or Twitter at Wrestling Daft. Because remember, the Mark, you know the Mark's podcast is continuing, so you're supporting the show. When they were starting greeting there.
Mate, you know, I was getting really emotional when you said chip season, don't I, mate?
So last week we launched a retro review where we were all going to look back at ECW's Heat Wave 98, and I hope you all did your homework, because let me tell you something, I certainly did. I watched the show. I know you probably thought I wouldn't have watched the show, but I did watch the show. I didn't realise at that point the show had been canned right enough, or I fucking wouldn't have bothered. I got a couple of had a couple of hours in my life free again. But I watched it. It was an enjoyable pay-per-view. Now, here's my quick review, right? Obviously, we went long tonight already, but I just want to give you my quick review. I've never been a fan. I've never really been a massive fan of Rob Van Dam. And so it was hard for me watching that Hayabusa and Shinzaki match, because it was me watching these Japanese wrestlers that I really love going up against Rob Van Dam and Sabu. No, for me, you know what I mean? So that match wasn't for me, right? That's the first thing I want to say, is that match wasn't for me. I'm going, look at these amazing Japanese wrestlers jobbing to these two losers, right? It was kind of my vibe. Watching that. I want to say, however, the thing that struck with me, I really enjoyed the Just Incredible match, Melvin. I thought I would. I always like watching Lance Storm.
Did you watch the legal version, or did you watch it on the network?
I have to confess that I watched it on network, mate.
I should have tried just, better to get that tape
just for
you,
convenience
man.
Just for convenience. It was interesting to see Chris Candido there. It was weird to see a lot of people who... It was quite a sad pay-per-view to watch.
Because they're all dead.
Well, particularly because... I love the Taz and Bam Bam Bigelow match, by the way, because I just love... I love Bam Bam Bigelow.
How good was Bam Bam Bigelow, man?
I mean, just the tough guys, just thick as fuck, man. Like, big, thick, heavy set dudes.
They no go missing for a couple of years before then he resurfaced, but then he died.
There was something weird.
There
was something going on.
I think a bunch of wrestlers must have been like, when's the last time you heard for Bam Bam Bigelow and all that? Easy 3 years.
Well.
Tatanka and Mike Awesome.
Masato Tanaka and Mike Awesome. That match was... I think we've spoken about it before. about, I'm sure we've spoken on this show about how great Mike Awesome was.
Oh, fucking loved him, man. Absolutely adored Mike Awesome. That's actually a death when I think about, I get really sad about it, because I actually think if he was still here with the way the business has worked out, he could have been, he could have came back, man.
He was, there's some, it's a weird thing where they always talk about wrestlers having star quality or just having it or something. And Mike Awesome was a guy you look at who looked kind of like generic, like he maybe wouldn't have star quality, but the minute he went into the ring and you just saw the stuff he could do, and he was so strong, and he just, there was just something about him. There was, he definitely had some kind of magic about him, Mike Awesome, you know what I mean?
I get really sad when I watch the One Night Stand show, right? Because I know Mike Johnson for PW Insider, right? He is front row, and Mike was very much involved in ECW and all that, the politics here. I don't know where he was involved backstage. I think he was, but he was just a mega, 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 mega fan. And I hate watching it back. And I love Mike. I love Mike to death. He's a great guy. I met him in New York at a show. But he is tearing into Mike Awesome for the whole jumping ship to WCW. And I think even Joey Styles is getting battered into him and off through the matches, you know.
Aye.
And the bigger picture, you know, and you're looking at it, you think, fuck me, man, do you know what I mean? How sad is this that, you know, probably his most watched match that's ever going to be seen because of the network is a match where there's a guy in the front row just totally fucking
burying him.
Burying him, man. The commentators burying him. And I just feel sorry for the big lumpy guy. Do you know that way? It's really sad, man.
And I kind of feel like Mike Awesome was always good. I kind of feel like he never disappointed me. Do you know what I mean? I was always like watching, always being, look at this big fucking legitimate big dude powerbombing guys, all the show up and on it. You know what I mean? Just wonder what it was. You
know? I mean, I know what it's like in terms of that. I mean, you hear about the stories about ECW and how checks were bounced. Fucking, I don't think there was much as Paul Heyman writing them out and fucking a bit of paper and that. But, you know, you can understand why he went for the Yankee dollar. Do you know what I mean? Why he jumped shit. Obviously, it wasn't the right way, but man, he's got wains to feed.
Everybody back then were all fucking jumping about everybody and all that and chasing the dollar, you know what I mean? It's like, fuck that, man. The fascinating thing about the pay-per-view was this. Every time I look at Tommy Dreamer, I'm kind of like, it's fucking mad that Tommy Dreamer was like in the main event of these. I don't mean that in a bad way.
And he's trackies and all that.
I mean, I totally get why that fan, but he was totally like the right guy in the right place at the right time. I totally get why the fans were behind that guy, you know, because it was like, you know, it could never happen again. I kind of feel like it could never happen again where a guy like Tommy Dreamer would be in the main event, a hot promotion.
I don't know, man, the way that, I mean, why do you say that? Because of the way he looks? Because he just looks like a pure Conor would want in a bank.
It's not so much that obviously he looks like a guy could batter, certainly batter me, but
he was wrestling at the weekend. You know what I mean?
I know. He wasn't particular. He's not particularly. It's not like he was outstanding in the ring.
I get it.
It wasn't even particularly amazing promo, and wasn't he like? Didn't he have an amazing look? I mean, certainly didn't he have an amazing look. But it's just fascinating that he does have an appeal, though. He has a kind of everyman appeal that's kind of like, that could be me, that could be like one of the fans in there. It could be me in there. Right. He has a similar appeal to the appeal I think Kevin Owens has.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin Owens has that appeal where I think the fans watch him and go, that could be me. The difference is Kevin Owens is an amazing promo and is an absolutely amazing professional wrestler as well, as fucking dynamite in the ring, you know what I mean? But he has that look that's kind of like a Tommy Dreamer-esque kind of look where it's like punters could think, well, that could be me in there. Anyway, I really did enjoy the pay-per-view. It wasn't as, for some reason in my head, I always think ECW pay-per-views are really trashy. And it was actually like a much better professional wrestling pay-per-view than I expected. Do you know what I mean?
Right. I know what you mean, but do you know miss that kind of in terms of the grittiness and the undergroundness in his name? Fireworks and everything, it's just, you know what I mean, a guy, there's a rest, there's a match, and then you see the cunt walk to the bat, and then, you know what I mean, the other guy comes out, and half the time they meet each other.
Mate, this is that, it's the big reset. This is the thing, though, this is what's interesting, it's why it's going to be even more important going forward, I think, for people to watch old wrestling events and old wrestling pay-per-views, because this pandemic is the big reset button. Like, things are not going to be the same again. Wrestling promotions are not going to be the same in Scotland as they were before this pandemic hit. Wrestling promotions in other countries in the world, things are going to go in a new direction again. Now is the time, I think, we're going to see the biggest cultural shift in the way professional wrestling works. Anyway, it looks like nobody else watched it, Gredo, just to tell you. Kieran says, it's on my desk, I just forgot to put it in my bag. And David says, the Doug 80s Network. So, this is where we want to hear you. Basically, this is the end of the show, and this is the end of this show and the end of the run of certainly our part of the podcast, me and Gredo together, unless something miraculous happens. So we're going to turn it over to you guys, and really it's all in your horns, the listeners. We are going to hustle and try and work out a way to bring the show back. John is doing dealings behind the scenes to try and work out ways we can bring this show back. If there's anything we've learned about the wrestling business, it's that nothing dies forever or dies for long. Business gets done behind the scenes. Things can change. So let's just see what happens. But please, please do be in touch and let us know how you're feeling about this. Gredo, do you want to sum this up and wrap it up?
Well, I just want to say, first of all, I always wanted to do a podcast and I always wanted to do a wrestling podcast. If Football One started, that was great. But then when I got the opportunity to come on here and be so laid back and really answer anything that you want to know and speak to you, Rab, as two pals, which we really are, and I think that comes across, you know what I mean? We can talk all day long about anything. And John is a fucking great installment sitting up there. I know we give him dogs abuse now and again, but he really has done well. But if this is the last episode, man, I just want to thank everybody who's listened to the show, who's tweeted and made us laugh, because I'm sure every person that submitted something has made me laugh. I want to thank to Louise Westy. I've not actually liked her tweet yet about that Best of Gredo video on TNA. I did watch that. That was good. That was class. It was good. But I've loved it, Rab. Coming on here every week and just talking shit about wrestling, because I've got a lot off my mind. Sorry if I've repeated myself and then again, rehash stories, but you definitely have shown that there is a fucking nice community out there with wrestling. There's really cool folk and they can make us laugh. And
yeah, beautiful. Listen, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Any point picking a listener of the week, really. But please do, if you've listened to this, rate it, review it, subscribe on Apple. Listen to the Marks on their podcast. Please do that. They have an interview with Enzo this week. And take a visit to our Patreon and see what you can do. It would be nice to come back. If your dad owns a fucking... If he does people's Wendy's,
aye,
tell him he gives a shout and we'll talk about his Wendy's for half an hour. All right. Gredo, it's your cell.
Up the road, right?
Albert Road. Aye, Albert Road it is. Albert Road.